And we're on the air. Welcome to another edition of Sports Talk with Lamar and Sid. I'm Lamar.
I'm back.
Dave.
And we're going to do the show differently today.
We're actually going to be on the air, first off.
Yes, and there will be no problems considering we are not doing live mobile day. But with that being said, we're going to do it first in 10 style. I'm going to play the moderator, except I'm going to give more of an opinion.
I'm gonna two roles.
Yes.
You're a utility guy.
Exactly. And I don't know who to call Skip Bayless here. Usually that's my role.
Yeah, that's usually you. So.
But because I'm the moderator, it's different. So
can you release to his voice?
Who, Jay Crawford?
No.
Skip.
Yeah.
Come on! I don't know. That's the best shot I had.
Well,
get some
Dick Vitale going on here today.
Well, baby, you know the... No.
DPP, baby.
Yeah. No.
So, yeah, I guess we'll have Sid be Skip Bayless and...
Okay, so I have to say everyday Gronk.
You don't have to, but, you know, it's your choice. And Dave, let's see. I'm going to think of... You could be Bob Glauber. Yeah, you could be him. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
You have no idea what I'm talking
about. I have no idea what you're talking about.
No idea. First and 10 constantly from recording. Yeah, I pretty much know all the reporters on there.
So I'm glad they have it on iTunes now so I can catch it when I'm in class. I mean, after, when I come back.
Indeed.
I suggest everybody subscribe to the... I'm promoting ESPN now. Everybody subscribe to First and 10 on iTunes.
ESPN has enough promotion.
Yeah.
I think
everybody please do that.
Promoting our podcast, Podomatic.
Oh, yeah. We'll do that at the end of the show, so.
All right.
End of the show.
But
save the best for last.
There we go.
We're going to start off the topics with the Bulls and Celtics.
Yes. All
right. So... What are your thoughts? Because the Bulls obviously are looking
are going to get the first seed.
Well, I mean, that was no question.
I mean,
I don't even
this
care
game
about
was kind of big for.
I still don't think the Celtics were going to catch them. I didn't think the Heat were going to catch
them. This could have been a loss that hurt the Bulls' morale, but the Bulls came out. I mean, the first half, they
Derrick
were
Rose
good.
Came out in the first.
Yeah. Derrick Rose came out in the first half, but the rest of the Bulls came out in the second half.
Luol Deng
playing huge.
Yes.
Getting steals, hitting threes. He was 3-for-6 to finish the night. Defense. Everything. They basically shut the Celtics down after.
At the end of the third quarter, pretty much.
To me, this is just a filler to the playoffs. I'm just waiting for the playoffs. It's just filler time right
now. I guess it was a game that the Bulls were just saying, hey, look out for us. We're ready. That was basically a statement game that's telling you.
Yeah, and the season series pretty much ended 2-2.
Yep.
So, you know, from what I'm looking, if these two meet in the playoffs,
six, seven games. The Celtics Bulls games, playoff games, are always fun to watch. And I'm definitely, if the Celtics make it, I'm definitely going to watch it.
I'm definitely going to watch anybody.
Yeah, I know. I would recommend anybody that's a fan of basketball
to watch
that.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't know. They were saying how Rajon Rondo looks out of it for Boston.
It's fine with me, but you're right. I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, look, okay, so I understand trading away Kendrick Perkins. You know, he's a key addition to defense, best friend. As much as it hurts, once again, I'm just saying, at some point, you have to wake up when the play. At least he's not quitting, though.
That's true.
I mean, I'm not saying.
I'm just saying that the Celtics. I mean, regardless, Rajon Rondo, I'm pretty sure he's gonna do his thing when the playoffs come. Kevin Garnett's pretty sure gonna do his thing. Paul Pierce probably gonna do his thing too. But the fact that, and I keep saying this, the fact that Kendrick Perkins is there takes away some of their toughness they have, despite KG being there, probably the toughest person in the league by far. But
KG. Yeah, I don't like him, but go ahead.
Despite that, the fact that Perkins is given away in the middle of the season, it kind of wrecks the whole program. Now I'm saying it ruins this year's season. Will it stop forever winning a championship again? I don't know, but the fact is, this season was doomed after they gave away Kendrick Perkins, not just because of his defensive effort, but because of the team chemistry.
See, the Celtics, I think they just want to get younger. Like, really, the only reason I'm not writing off the Celtics because of the Perkins trade is because, you know, throughout the season, they didn't really have him anyway, and they were still pretty much coasting in the East, and like last year, you know.
I think it's just getting to their head. I just think it's getting into their head. They're just thinking of that, and they're not playing. Because really, I agree with you. They they could play like they did earlier without him actually physically being there. Another scenario, it's the same scenario but different results, is everybody said after the 2009 season when Melky Cabrera got traded from the Yankees, they said, well, Cano and him were good friends. How is Cano going to do? Look what Cano did in 2010.
Yeah.
He did phenomenal.
There you go.
So everybody thought that, well, you know, he lost a good friend. What's funny is that he probably lost a distraction, actually.
Yeah.
And he's doing great.
And you know, even
so, you're
then,
saying Kendrick Perkins is a distraction?
No, I'm saying it's a similar situation where you have friends on a team who get separated. And I think it's interesting that you have one situation where it's getting to the team's head, apparently, and another situation where you have a guy who could arguably be the AL MVP, you know, like last year, who put up phenomenal numbers. I just think it's interesting you have the same situation, two different results.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just waiting. I just have a feeling the Celtics defense, the way I saw them play last year, and I know Perkins was there, but the defense was absolutely suffocating. I couldn't fade it. I didn't think anyone. I'm still shocked the Lakers won that 7-game series. The defense was unbelievable. But I'm just waiting. I'm not going to write off the Celtics after last year. If they can't get it done, all right, props to you, Cedric. But as of right now, I'm not going to change my pick. I'm sticking with the Celtics. That, to me, they're the only team that can give the Bulls trouble. I think the Heat
could give them trouble.
When did you ever become the Heat?
No, I said that the Heat could give them trouble. I've said this for the past few weeks. The Heat and Bulls in the Eastern Conference Finals, where they haven't had to play, whether it's first or second round. I said them two are going to play, and the Bulls are going to win in six. I've been saying that. But it's going to be some six hard games. They're going to give them some trouble. But the fact is that the Heat are going to play the Bulls in the Eastern Conference Finals, and the Bulls are going to win and go to the championship. That's what I've been saying.
All right. Well, we will see. Next question. We're going to go to baseball. First week of MLB. Thoughts? You got the Baltimore Orioles at 5-1. You got the Pittsburgh Pirates, which, you know, 4-3 is a good start for them.
Oh, yeah.
But they go against the Cubs first.
Right,
and the
but
Cubs
know
always.
That those are road games.
Yeah.
I mean, on the road.
But still, it's the Pirates.
I know. I'm just saying, you know,
Clint Hurdle.
Pirates always give the Cubs trouble, so.
Yeah, and we're going to get to this topic later, but Boston, 0-6.
We'll save that for
later. Exactly. We'll save that for later.
Yeah. Exactly. You got Tampa, 0-6.
But you know what? To be honest with you, everybody's like, oh, Tampa's 0-6. Well, I mean, I didn't predict 0-6 in the first six games.
You got to take that into effect that even Longoria
is on the DL.
But I still, when they got rid of, you know,
Matt
Garza.
Carlos Pena.
And Crawford.
Yeah.
Crawford and Garza for sure. I thought this team is not going to be the same. It's just not. I mean, obviously, you know, Longoria, that doesn't help, and I wouldn't have imagined 0-6. But I mean, going into the season, I thought easily less of a threat. I don't think how anybody could say they'll be the same or better than last season.
And you know what's funny about that is, you know, they rely on pitching to win. Their offense wasn't even good when all those players were attacked in the first place. They were only hitting around .254 as a team.
Well, their pitching was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, Soriano's gone.
Correct, yeah.
So you look, you know, I mean, the thing is, though, is that's why I don't understand why they made that trade, because I know, you know, the Rays are normally like, you know, let's build up a team. The thing is, though, based on the past two seasons, they're, in my mind, they were in a win-now mode. And what they should have done is, I know Crawford is a money issue, but they should not have traded away Garza for prospects, because, believe it or not, like I said, the Rays were in a win-now mode. They should have kept him. They got rid of him, and then you can make the argument, you know, Soriano and Crawford's money, they don't want to spend the money because, what's Spanish? You go to the World Series there's going to be empty seats, which is sad to me.
Yeah.
You know, so I understand the money thing. That's a different argument than the trading. They should have at least kept Garza.
You know, and other starts, you know, you've got the Colorado Rockies, who, you know, we thought could have a chance.
I'm happy. Yeah. I mean, I admit, out of that group, I'm a Dodger fan, but I'm happy for the Rockies because I always say they always play great in September, better in the second half. It's nice to see that they're 4-1 and they're getting off that early start, which I said is key, absolutely key for that team.
And, you know, their best player in Troy Tulowitzki.
Oh, I like that guy. I like that guy. I really do. He's a ball player right there.
He was my early pick for NL MVP, and he's...
So far, he's living up to it.
Yeah. What's the question?
What's wrong with Albert Pujols?
It's in his head.
I'm telling you, this is a complete Cleveland Cavaliers situation, if you ask me.
Yep. Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's
why I don't want him to pull a LeBron. That's what I've been saying the entire offseason.
Hope he doesn't pull LeBron and have a whole hour show telling how he's going to take his talent to
I'm pretty sure he won't. He's not that big of a jerk.
Yeah, I mean,
he may leave the team, but he's not going to do that. No, but I really hope that Albert gets together, and I think Albert Pujols is key. But you also have to remember they have Holiday.
He's appendectomy he has, just like Adam Dunn. But he avoided the DL. Like he refused to go on the disabled list.
Adam Dunn.
Matt Holiday.
Oh, he did too?
No, he didn't go on the DL.
Oh, I thought that was just Dunn.
Didn't go on the DL. So they're trying to get him back. I mean, really,
this just reminds me of when A-Rod had the hip surgery and Teixeira was doing terrible in 2009.
Yeah.
You know, and then as soon as A-Rod came back, boom, that offense got going. You know, but with Pujols being a leader and he's not doing so well and you're missing a key guy in your lineup, you know, that's not going to help you, you know?
Right. And I don't know, but just personally, I don't think they have enough offense around it. Like, okay, Holiday's a really good addition.
Pujols is, right.
They need more help. Pujols, they could just easily walk him. I'm pretty sure pitchers rather face Holiday than Pujols.
Oh, I know I would. That's not a knock on Holiday, but right. I mean, you know.
So they need some more hitters. They really do.
Yeah.
Until then, it's going to be
There's nine guys in the lineup, not two.
Exactly. Exactly. Two can't beat the whole team.
I mean, what if you got, you know, 7-8-9 coming up or 6-7-8 or 9-1-2.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? I mean, you gotta be able to do something with that. Now, I'm not saying you gotta have a stacked lineup 1-9. No one is that blessed, really. Well,
yeah.
That's why I said not really.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, it's just like you gotta have a little. You can't have just two guys there. You just can't have that. And remember, National League, you got the pitcher batting. And I don't care who you are, you know, DH is more powerful than a pitcher.
Yeah.
So that's already even weaker in that aspect.
You know, the only team that has the benefit of the pitcher hitting is the Chicago Cubs.
Really? Yeah.
Zambrano.
Yeah.
And honestly, CC Sabathia is a pretty good hitter, too.
Yeah.
It's the big guys.
Yeah.
They're the sluggers.
Yeah.
And, you know, we also have the New York Yankees, you know, getting off to a 4-2
start. I'm actually happy for them since half my team is filled with their roster.
Well, how could your fantasy baseball team not be filled with Yankees?
I don't know.
As much as people hate them, I guarantee you they got some guys on their fantasy league.
And
Mariano Rivera, I love you.
Yes, he's gotten off to a great start.
And, the Yankees pitching is so bad. Burnett, great. Sabathia, it's sad. He's got two no decisions, but he's pitched three runs total in two games.
He pitched very good.
Nova was good. They skipped Garcia, but you know what? I have faith in Garcia. And you know what? Everybody, I think people put pressure on the Yankees because of the Yankees' bulged pants. More times than not, I know you're going to throw out Philly, but that's a rare exception. Who has a phenomenal fifth starter?
And
generally speaking, who has a fifth starter that people drool over to see pitch? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's not a concern. I said the key to the Yankees pitching is Burnett because he has great stuff, but it's all in his head. If he can do good, you know, Sabathia's going to do good. Phil Hughes is probably going to, you know, he's young. He's got a high ceiling. So I wasn't concerned so much about Garcia or maybe even Nova. I was more concerned with Burnett. And if he can do good and Nova and Garcia can kind of tread water, you're in good shape because remember, it's the Yankees' offense.
Yeah. And you know what? You bring up run support. I just want to bring this up because I know last week we were talking about who we thought was the best.
For those of you who missed it.
Yeah.
I know I missed it.
we discussed, you know, in terms of the White Sox, who's the best pitcher. You know, I said John Danks, and he would have more wins if he had run support.
Yeah.
Cleveland, the game that they lose, the White Sox only get one run when he's on the mound.
Right? No. I think John Danks is honestly the most underrated pitcher.
Yeah.
For sure.
Safe bet.
I mean, he is great. And I mean, I'll even go to this, and it may be small sample size or whatever, but blackout game, phenomenal.
Exactly.
The one game they won in the division series, phenomenal. He is great. He's a lefty, so, you know, he's got that pickoff move advantage. He's great. He doesn't really get any recognition. And I feel bad for him because he's not a big money guy, but he does a job as good as, or even maybe even better than some of these guys who get paid top dollar.
And I bet the Texas Rangers are shooting themselves in the foot for trading him to us.
Yeah, well, so,
well, think well, about it. The Rangers pitching staff, I mean, okay, they had Cliff Lee, but not anymore.
Well, here's the thing. It's weird. The Rangers actually, you know, they're doing great now.
Yeah.
And they had, you know, they went to the World Series last year. But what's funny is that the Rangers have always had great guys who could hit.
Yeah.
It's their pitching that's been bad. Yeah. I mean, come on. Teixeira was on that team. You had guys who could always hit on that team. And it's funny because they never really had the pitching. So now that they've had the better pitching in the bullpen as well as the starting staff, to accompany that great offense, you look what happens. They win the West, they win the pennant, and they were 6-0 to start the season. You know, I mean, that just shows you what a complete team can do.
And if John Danks was still there, he'd probably be a 20-game winner by now.
Oh, probably. But with that offense, I'm saying that offense has always been good. It's just their pitching's been weak, and now that they got that, you're looking at a team that's I put down to win the West and could go deep in the playoffs.
Yeah, I can pretty much say we both agree. We have Texas winning a division, and right now getting off to a torrid start.
Oh, yeah.
And
I think that the other teams are weak. I mean, Seattle.
No, not all of them are weak.
Well, I mean, Anaheim isn't as good as they were a few years ago.
Of course they're not, but.
Right.
I don't know if they can contend with Texas, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Once they get Ken Morales back.
Well, speaking of teams that aren't on a torrid start, Boston Red Sox, should they be concerned?
Here's my thing. I love how people would say, should we be concerned, when there's 182 games in a season.
That contradicts my point right there.
Oh, my God. Why is everybody saying they should panic when there's 182 games in a season?
Wait, I think I know what you're going to say. You want to go first?
Yeah.
Okay, because then I think I know what we're saying, but I'll tell you my opinion when you're done.
Cedric.
What?
I agree. 162 games.
62,
season.
Whatever.
You know, I agree.
Whatever, it's a long game.
I don't blame you for thinking that because that's, you know, when you have that long of a season, you would think you'd have plenty of time.
Yeah.
But
okay,
history shows when a team gets off to a terrible start, I'm going to compare this to the 08 Detroit Tigers, who had so much high expectations. They got off to an 0-9 start, and they finished 74-88. 2002, Tigers, 0-11, 55-106. Tigers, 0-9-03, 43-119.
Dang.
Mariners in 04, 0-5, 63-99. Mets, 05, 0-5. They were the only one that managed to actually get a .500 record in 83-79, but they did not make the playoffs. And et cetera. You got the Pirates, 0-6.
No, they're just a bad team.
Yeah.
Bad
team. You had the Astros last year get off to an 0-8 start, 76-86. And they're a team that usually gets off to a great start when the second half begins.
And to add to that point, here everybody says it's a long season. And I understand it's only, you know, the first week. I realize that, but let's be honest. So the bigger hole. This isn't any sport, and I understand baseball is the longest, but so the more games you lose early, the more you're going to have to make up. And let's be honest, the AL East is the best division in baseball.
Yeah.
And, you know, the point is, though, if the Red Sox are, you know, 0-6 and they could be, you know, the Yankees, I think that they'll win 2 out of 3, so that won't help them because they're playing a division rival. But the point is, though, is that they could make it up. I mean, of course, you know, they could go on a 10-game winning streak. But the point is, though, you can't deny the fact that it's harder when you start that slow, even in a long season.
I agree with that.
Yeah, it seems like in baseball, when you get off to that bad of a start, you're not going to have a good season.
I understand that, but... And remember, it's not like the NBA where you get, like, a few... I mean, it's you know, you gotta win that division. Yeah, the wild card, but, you know, you still got to play like you want to win that division.
I understand that, but six games that should not... It
I mean,
does
it,
not
you dis- think you would think it wouldn't, but it really does have an effect for
the,
some reason.
But the Red Sox have so much talent on that
so
team that
they
can...
So did the Tigers in 08. But they didn't get the job done. They finished fourth, dead last, I think, in that division.
So you're gonna say it right now. The Red Sox won't make the playoff because of 1 week.
It certainly doesn't help.
I mean, certainly.
And the AL East is phenomenal division. The Tigers were in the AL Central.
So name the four playoff teams that's gonna be in it now.
Texas.
Well, obviously
Texas,
Yankees,
White Sox, and I had Red Sox in there, but I at this point. I don't know. Yeah. I really don't know, and I don't.
I'm
know.
Not gonna say. I'm not gonna say White Sox. I'm gonna say Texas, Yankees.
Well, the way the Twins are starting, I don't know.
No, because look, the thing is, though, Tigers aren't doing good. The Twins haven't been doing so well.
Kansas and Cleveland will fall off.
Right. I think as much as I hate to say it, the White Sox will win that division.
Here's my prediction: Yankees, Texans, Angels, and the Baltimore Orioles. I'm gonna say that right now. My bold prediction.
So
you don't think they're gonna fall off?
You don't think the Red Sox?
No, I mean if you see it, because think about the general manager or the new manager of the
Buck
Orioles
Showalter.
Have been doing so good since the since he's been hired.
Well, I think it's. Funny.
I think he's gonna give them to the playoffs. It's gonna be one of the storybook.
Well, it's funny that you're picking the Orioles and the Yankees to come out of the East,
I thought
but you're
making the case
but,
for the Red
right,
Sox.
Right, that's it's kind of funny, but
I'm just saying, it's gonna be. They're probably going to finish 500, like lose one.
Oh, there's a possibility the Red Sox can get to 500.
I'm not saying that they're going to have below 500. I'm just saying I think you can't deny the fact that everybody says the game's in April. It's early. The fact is though, it's a loss. It goes in the loss column. And by the end of September, you don't want to be playing catch up, especially with the Yankees. And oh my God, if the Orioles are that good later on, Toronto. It can be a spoiler.
Yeah.
It's the AL East. They're stacked. And it's hard. And when September you play all those interdivision games, the Yankees aren't going to be quitting. The Orioles, they could be good. And put it like this, Toronto is going to be a spoiler. If they're not going to be winning anything, they're definitely going to be playing the spoiler role.
You know, it's pretty much safe to say if you're a team and you're going to get off to a start like the Red Sox are.
Just quit.
You don't.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
you don't want to do that in the AL. See, you're doing a perfect Skip Bayless, putting words in people's mouths.
Let's go.
But, you know, we'll see how that goes. Not really looking good for the Red Sox. They can get to 500, but playoffs.
Oh, yeah, I don't think they're going to be a bad team. I'm just saying I had them in wild card, and if Baltimore plays like this, I mean, I don't know how anybody could say the Yankees aren't going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, now it's a question of wild card or division, but if the Red Sox still have to play catch up and the Orioles play like this, you know, but it's hard to say. I don't
tie for 24th at 2 under par, and Tiger Woods was tied for 31st at 1 under par. You know, honestly, my prediction was Lee Westwood to win, only because I've noticed in history, especially the past 5 seasons, there are some really out of nowhere winners. You know, except for Phil Mickelson, you got Angel Cabrera, Trevor Immelman, Zach Johnson, you know, then you have Phil Mickelson again. But none of those guys won a match before heading into the Masters. And then when the Masters actually began, then that's when they make their breakthrough. And, you know, Lee Westwood hasn't won one in a while, actually. He was the number one golfer in the world last year. And, you know, I'm not going to count him out because he's in 35th with an even. He's got an even score. So he still has a chance to get hot today and get something done, but then so do the other competitors. Like, I'm really rooting. I know this is a homer pick. I'm not saying he's gonna win. I still think Lee Westwood has a better shot, but I would love for Tiger Woods.
Now here's the thing. I've been a Tiger fan for the longest, but the fact is that Tiger Woods never gonna win again. Quote me on that. Tiger Woods will never win again.
Well,
you know what's crazy? Because he's been struggling before he's been caught for cheating. People often don't remember. He's been struggling. He's been blowing leads before he got caught cheating.
See,
so Tiger Woods has been done for a little while. And it pains me to say it because I'm a big fan, but the fact is that Tiger Woods will never win another championship again.
Here's two things, though. You know, I remember watching it yesterday, the Masters. Tiger Woods had this same slump in around the, you know, 03, 06 era. And then he got back on the winning track, won the Masters.
This is a whole different
I know, whole different story. I understand Jack Nicklaus, the acclaimed greatest golfer ever, had a slump like this, 4 or 5 year slump, then came back, won the 86 Masters tournament, won about like 5 more majors after he turned 40, I believe. I'm not going to say Tiger Woods won't win again, because let's just be honest, it's really hard to write off somebody who's been this successful. At some point, the man will figure it out.
Well, I don't think so.
Psychologically, it's a roadblock right now.
And the swinging, like, he's changed his swing coach. If he went back to Butch Harmon, who in the glory days, that's when Tiger Woods was dominant. But apparently they had some little quarrel going on where, like, you know, I don't need you and, you know, vice versa. They need to, well, Tiger especially needs to just reconcile and get Butch back, because if he does that, watch out for Tiger Woods. I mean, he's not at this rate. He's probably not going to dominate like he used to. But I'm not going to say he's not going to win again. And you know, and even in the Masters, Tiger Woods, he usually doesn't get off to good starts at all.
He doesn't win the Masters.
Four-time winner,
yeah,
second
but not,
all-time.
Not of late.
He should have actually. He's had like 2 or 3 second place finishes,
yeah, but
in
that's
span.
Not winning.
I understand, but
winning.
I understand that he hasn't been winning lately. But he's a 4-time Masters champ, so I would think if anybody knows how to win outside of Jack, he does, because he is second in that category. He doesn't get off to good starts in the first round. This was a better start than usual, to be frank. I looked up the stats, you know, in previous years, even when he won. He's never up there in the leaderboards for the first round. But then again, old Tiger would charge back. Not so sure if this Tiger could.
Yeah, but I don't think so.
I don't know. I'm hoping if he doesn't play well today, then I'm pretty much going to kill it for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But and really, Tiger and Phil both. You know, I watched the Masters, as I already stated, and it wasn't too boring. They moved pretty fast from when I usually watch a golf match. And, you know, you have Phil and Tiger. They left a few out there. They could easily be better than the score that they are at right now. Like, they could be in the top 5 or top 10. The wins were, for the most part, unforgiving yesterday. And it wasn't just Tiger and Phil. It was, for the most part, everybody but Rory McIlroy. He was the only one that seemed to have it figured out. Everyone else had a tough going at it. So, you know, I know, Dave, you said Rory McIlroy would win. And right now, that's looking very good because he's the leader. But, you know.
Do you think things will change?
Only because it seems like a lot of people choke at the Masters, like when they have the lead. Because the Masters, to me, is the equivalent of golf Super Bowl or NASCAR's Daytona 500.
Just spread into many, many days.
Yeah, it's so hard to win. You know, I often say the Daytona 500 is a chess match. You know, you've got to be able to outsmart everybody. It's not an easy race to win. Masters, golf, I think, is probably the hardest sport to play. You have to concentrate.
Very tedious.
Exactly. And the more of that you have, the higher the chances are that you could potentially choke.
Yep.
You know? And
right. Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, exactly. So, it'll be interesting to see if Rory McIlroy will hold the lead and if anyone else, perhaps Tiger or Phil, catch hot and, you know, raise up the leaderboards.
I'm going to say a no-name wins it.
Wouldn't be a bad choice if I knew the name you were talking about.
I don't know the name I'm talking about, but I bet you it's not going to be the leader or Tiger Woods or Phil. It's going to be someone we've probably never heard of.
Well, I mean, we shall see. We've got 3 more days.
Yep.
and we've got, let's see, back to basketball.
College.
Yes, basketball. College basketball. The winner of the national championship was the UConn Huskies, as Cedric predicted. And, well, he didn't have it in his bracket, but he predicted, you know, they would win.
I mean, I knew they were going to win, but I'm not happy.
Yeah, that's a Rob Parker moment. You're just pulling. Yeah, I mean, seriously.
Honestly, I was watching the Yankee game and just watching
the
score.
I turned to wrestling at that point.
I didn't watch the game. I literally, they just kept flashing the scores, yeah, and I said, oh, my God, they're up. And then, oh, man, Butler's down. And
yeah, Butler forgot to put the ball in the bucket, which is the
opposite. Both teams forgot to put the ball in the bucket.
Yeah, 34% for UConn, staggering 18% for Butler.
How is that possible?
Oh, my God.
I shoot 18% on a regular basis when I play basketball. That's sad. That's sad.
I don't even really. I don't have anything to say. Kemba Walker was even off.
Exactly.
53-41.
Man,
I mean, you have to say some defense had to account for the low scoring, terrible shooting.
To be fair, the Butler defense did what they did. They did the same thing to Duke last year in the national. To be fair, to give them their defense credit, but the offense is just, it is not the fact that it was good defense on some parts. They were missing gimme layups, gimme buckets, buckets that pretty much anybody that plays basketball on a team should make. And you only shoot 18%? Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
oh my God, that was painful to watch.
Yeah.
Painful.
Very, very painful.
Oh, man.
I don't know, UConn, I guess.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. You know, Kemba Walker, one of the players that has the clutch
gene. Please stay in there. You're not going to make it.
I don't think he's
going to
stay. I think he's a senior.
I think still go one more year.
Either way, I would think he's gone. Anyway. Kyrie Irving left.
But who the heck is going to. You're not going to get. He's not going to get any playing time, though.
He'll get money.
Depends what team he goes to. He could be a seriously good sixth man. I could see him on the Oklahoma
like a Ty
City
Lawson.
Thunder.
Like a Ty Lawson was for the Denver?
Yeah, for a while.
Yeah, until he.
I could see him benefiting the Oklahoma City Thunder on offense. I could see him fitting in with Durant and Westbrook and et cetera, Harden.
You know what? You might be right on that.
I can see that.
We'll see.
He's going to be a first-round pick if he leaves. Might as well. Yeah. Kyrie Irving left. You know, he probably could have won a championship with Duke, but he knew, oh, I'm going to be the first pick. Why am I going to stay here?
I'm with Charles Barkley on this one. I kind of hate the rule, that the one-year thing.
I hate that rule.
Yeah, me too. I say be like the NFL, 3 years and then. Because therefore they grow mentally, they learn more about the game.
For sure.
They help their respective programs they're in.
It's just, you know, at least in baseball you have the minors with other sports. I mean, yeah, you got the D-League, but, you know, I think that if you require not necessarily like 4 full years, but 1 year, I mean, come on.
Come on now.
Yeah.
You know, usually we would take a commercial break or just a music break, but we're going to try to go the distance without having a break here, if that's fine by you guys, because considering we have 26 minutes left, if we take a music break now, we would.
How many topics we got left?
We have 5.
Oh, okay, yeah, let's go.
We're going to go on to the NBA. Speaking of Oklahoma City Thunder, can the OKC Thunder take third place away from Dallas? Because
how many games back are they?
They're one.
Yes, they can.
They can. And I proposed this question long before they got that close, because they were getting on a roll, and Dallas slowly struggling. And like I said, one game back.
Yes, they can.
It's a little too late for them to catch the Lakers. Yeah. The most they can do is tie. I mean, but for Oklahoma City Thunder,
they are a phenomenal. They're the top five of the teams in the league right now.
Too bad they're not gonna win this year.
They're not gonna win a championship this year. But this is definitely a great sign for them. They're gonna be a big time threat. Everybody knows what they're capable of, and quite frankly, some people even fear playing them. The Lakers are definitely trying to get the 2 seed so they don't play them anytime soon in the playoffs.
That's the case. I hope they keep it. The Oklahoma City Thunder, this is why I have Kevin Durant as my MVP next year, because
I agree.
This team, I know you're going to probably say the Lakers. I think they're going to get the number 1 seed in the West next year. I think so. I'm gonna go out.
If Phil Jackson leaves, then I will. Then I will probably agree with you. Yeah,
which he will. He's already declared he's done.
If Phil Jackson leaves, then yeah, they're getting a number one seed by far.
And yeah, and I don't, honestly, as much as I like Phil, you know, excellent coach. I don't really think even with him there. Because, you know, seeing what they're doing this year with Phil,
yeah.
I don't think they care about the number.
But you got to realize they're probably going to have Dwight Howard by that time.
I don't know about next year.
There has been rumors. That's been.
If Dwight.
Yeah, but isn't Dwight a free agent after this season?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Next year he is. Next year.
Oh, it's next year?
Yeah.
I thought it was just after this season ended.
But Dwight has been having some trouble in Orlando.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't vote for L.A.
Oklahoma City Thunder is a great team. Second best team in the West. Probably the top five team in the league. They probably going to take it from the struggling, inconsistent Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, I don't know why people think they're going to make noise. Dallas does this every year.
I don't think so.
I think the Thunder would make a lot more noise, to be honest with you.
Dallas, they just aren't made for the playoffs. Nah. Let's just be honest. Mm. Dirk, I can't trust them. I just can't.
It's a one-man show.
Yeah. They're not. I mean,
it's a one-man show with a guy who doesn't exactly show up in the playoffs unless you would like.
Yeah. I mean, for a couple of first-run eliminations as a number one seed, most notably the Golden State. Come on, man. And, Jason, you know, to Richardson. Be fair, they haven't had Caron Butler. When they had him, they were doing very, very well. But even he, I just don't see the Dallas Mavericks doing well.
That's, I don't either. I agree.
In the playoffs. I agree
100%.
So I think Oklahoma City's going to come back and take the number three seed. So
I agree. Now, let me see what, if you don't mind, do you know what the scheduling is like for each team?
Well.
Like, they both play, like, what, three more games?
Oklahoma City plays. Yeah, they both play four more games.
Four more games. Okay.
Yeah. I don't like Oklahoma City's got. Well,
they're
this is
Denver,
probably
Denver and the Lakers.
Oh wow, they got a tough schedule.
Oh,
let me see.
Denver and Lakers Denver right off the bat. That's tough right
there. You
know
what?
Denver's
been playing pretty
good.
They could be Milwaukee.
They could beat Sacramento for sure.
I mean, that, you know, we, let's,
those
look,
two
let's
games
see what
are
the
key.
Mavs are playing. Let's see who the
well,
Mavs are playing.
The Denver Nuggets are going to be on the road, so that's why I give them a chance. Let's see. Dallas has an easier schedule.
Oh, the Clippers, the Suns, the Rockets, and
I'd say the Rockets one might could be an upset.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, maybe even.
Even New Orleans and the Rockets, those are two key games.
I mean, right now, on paper, I give Dallas the edge. Unfortunately,
on paper,
they're already up a game, but we'll see. I mean, I hope the Thunder.
It wouldn't surprise me if Dallas blew it. It wouldn't surprise me.
Well, speaking of the Denver Nuggets, are the Denver Nuggets a threat? Because.
Yes!
Yes.
Yes.
The performance against the Los Angeles Lakers last Sunday.
They should have kept Andrew Bynum to rebound.
Yeah. Yeah.
That Kenyon Martin miss.
You know, it's funny. This really leads me to think of it this way. We know Carmelo Anthony's a great player. All right. Clutch gene. But can it be possible that maybe he's not the guy that can
Denver
lead
need.
You far in the playoffs like certain other superstars
I
can?
Guess
well, yeah,
because
you're right. I agree with that because there's a difference between good players and leaders.
Yeah.
You can be a good player and have zero leadership skills.
Exactly.
I mean, that's really true with anything, and I think that, to be honest with you, there could be mediocre players that could be great leaders.
Yeah.
But then again, Chauncey Billups was the leader of that team when Denver did have.
He probably
Billups and
was
Carmelo.
Co-captain.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure Carmelo Anthony was.
I mean, I'm pretty sure, but besides the namesake, I think Chauncey was like the true leader of that team.
Right,
kind of like Derek Fisher's kind of leader of the Lakers team.
You don't think Kobe
mentally,
Bryant?
not scoring wise, because we know
I
Fisher
think
don't
Kobe
score,
Bryant
but,
is mentally.
But Fisher does. If you see in the playoff clips and stuff like that, Fisher does speak out and he does call the team out. He does. Help them get together when they are struggling. Fisher's kind of like kind of like the co-captain.
See,
of that team that too.
Surprises me to hear this come from your mouth. I agree with the Derek Fisher, but as the competitive instincts that looms within Kobe Bryant,
on the court, Kobe Bryant's the true leader. Obviously, that.
You don't think he yells at his teammates? Cause
I mean, I know he does. I'm saying he does, but Fisher. Kind of more.
So you're basically saying Fisher's next in line.
I think Fisher's behind Kobe because
I would say he's behind, but I would say he's up there. Yeah. I mean, just kind of like, you know, Paulie's the captain, but Burley's kind of right behind.
Yeah. So we can say that because, you know, I don't know if Fisher would be ahead of Kobe in terms of leadership. Cause yeah.
I think next in line for sure.
Right,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. That. Yeah. See that. Wasn't clarified right away till now. Right.
Yeah, now we all agree.
Now we're on the same page. Yeah, but back to the Nuggets, though. I think what makes them so good is that they're not since they don't have Carmelo, they can run more.
Their motivation level is up there.
They can run more of their offense instead of, okay, we're going to pass to Carmelo. He's going to isolate. He's going to score.
It's bringing out the best in every other player that's on that team.
Here's another key not a stat, but just important information. The Denver Nuggets have considerably played much better defense.
Yes.
Now that Carmelo Anthony is gone.
True. Carmelo don't have no D.
and it's funny. Definitely. I think he could learn how to play D. He just chooses not to. So I don't know. I thought
that's the Knicks' biggest problem.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Because if the Knicks can't score, it's not
over.
Happening. Yeah, it's
game.
Over.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like I don't. This might not bode well for New York. Not the fact that you don't
whatever
know
makes it easier for the Bulls.
So you know what, we've got some time here, so we're actually going to take a commercial break.
Music break. Let's get
it. Yes. But we'll be back. Sports Talk, Lamar said.